Last week I started to talk about faith. Everything is possible for one who believes. And no doubt over the years you've heard preachers preach that. You've heard me preach it. Hey, everything is possible for everyone who believes. All you've got to do is believe. All you've got to do is have faith. And you may well have heard someone preach that to you, but they've not said, well, how do you have faith? What does it mean to believe? And sometimes, because we've not been taught what it means to believe, what it means to have faith, we read the scripture, everything is possible for everyone who believes, and because we don't know what faith looks like and what faith sounds like, our prayers don't come to fruition. We become disillusioned and we say, well, God doesn't want to answer my prayers. He's not interested in me, and it must be something else. And we make all these excuses up why God isn't a God who answers prayers. And we become disillusioned. Simply because that statement there on the screen, although it's true, nobody has told us how to believe, how to have faith. So last week I started a little introduction. I started talking about how it is faith that pleases God. It's not works that please God, it's faith that pleases God. Also talked about how faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Romans 10:14, is it? Or 10:17, anyway, Romans 10 somewhere. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And I made that comment that sometimes you might sit there and say, well, I've heard this all before, you know. Well, sometimes we need to hear it again and again so that it gets deep within us. Because sometimes, you know, Gal and I will talk about things within the church, and we'll say, were they not listening when you preached that message? Were they not listening when we did that Bible study? Were they not? You've gone on and on and on about it for the last month of Sundays, and are they still not getting it? And I think it's because we need to hear and hear again. Don't faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. I'm not criticizing anybody. I'm not condemning anybody. I'm just saying that the first time we hear something isn't the first time which, bingo, I've got it. The penny doesn't always drop the first time. We need to hear it again and again and again. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. The word of God. Okay, and we also looked that faith is moved by what God has said, not our five senses. So we shouldn't, our faith is not dependent upon what we can see, but dependent upon, we believe, what we don't see. Faith is, we learn that faith is something that we walk in, not something that we just exercise on Sundays. And faith appropriates what God has already provided for by grace. So we can appropriate what God has provided for in grace. We can appropriate salvation. We can appropriate healing. We can appropriate healing. That which God has provided for in grace. But we can't pray for stuff that God hasn't provided for. So if I decided that I wanted to pray that the man next door divorced his wife so that I could marry his wife, you know, that would be outside of grace. That would be outside of God's will. An extreme example, I know, but just as an example of the fact that we cannot appropriate something outside of grace. And also we looked at where hope plays a position, love plays a position, and patience plays a part as well. Maybe we'll elaborate on hope and love and patience at a future stage. But I want to tonight look at this scripture on the screen. I hope this is going to encourage you. I hope that this is going to minister to you, and I hope that it's going to help you in your journey into receiving the answer to the prayer that you have prayed. So here it is from Mark 11, 12 to 13. The next morning, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. He noticed a fig tree in full leaf a little way off, so he went off to see if he could find any figs. But there were any leaves because it was too early in the season for fruit. Then Jesus said to the tree, "May no one ever eat your fruit again." And the disciples heard him say it. I'm not going to go into the reasons why he might have spoken to the tree and cursed it. I just want you to notice that he spoke to the tree. Next slide, please. The next morning, this is a few verses later in the same chapter. The next morning, as they passed by the fig tree he had cursed, the disciples noticed it had withered from the roots up. Peter remembered what Jesus had said to the tree on the previous day and exclaimed, "Look, Rabbi, the fig tree you cursed has withered and died." And believe it or not, this example that Jesus gives has all to do with faith, because he elaborates on what faith is in the verses that follow, and we'll just note those in a minute or two. But before we go any further, Joshua's going to put a graphic up on the screen. Got some pictures tonight. I want you to think in your minds, this is not a trick question, I'll answer the question for you, so don't worry about whether you're going to get it right or wrong. It's not a trick question. But I want to ask you this question. I want you to make you think about this. Here Jesus is on day one. Let's give me the grace of that in for the scripture. Give me the liberty just to make that assumption that it was on day one. Here we have the fig tree that it was green. And Jesus spoke to it and cursed it. All right? And then the following day, we have, after that period of time, 24 hours, let's just say, they noticed that it was dead from the roots up. Question that I have is, when did the fig tree die? When did the fig tree die? So, let me answer that, because it's not a trick question. All right. The fig tree died the moment Jesus spoke to it. That the tree died the moment Jesus spoke to it, not the moment they saw it was dead. Now, that's very important. It's very important for us to grasp, because at the time when Jesus spoke it to it, to our eye, nothing had changed. Someone could have gone up to it and picked a leaf and said, "That prayer didn't work. It's still alive. Look, it's still green." Someone could have gone up to the tree and knocked it and said, "Nothing's changed." 24 hours passed by before Peter noticed any difference. When Jesus spoke to the tree, it didn't look like anything had happened, but when Jesus spoke to it, it went straight to the roots straight away. Now, hopefully you can see where I'm going to go with this. Because the point that I want to make is that when we pray, it is answered straight away. But we don't see the results of it with our eyes, with our ears, what we might touch, what we might smell. Let's go through all the five senses, what we might hear if I said that one. We don't always see it in our physical senses immediately, but in the spiritual realm, it's already done. Faith is not believing what you can see, but what you can't see. So let's go to Mark 11:22-24. "For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says this to the mountain..." Okay, so this is following on from that story. So he's teaching us something about faith here. "I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." Now, I'm not going to preach again about what it means to speak into our situations and speak to our mountains about God rather than speaking to God about our mountain. You can pick up that message on the internet from March. I'm not going to go into that too much. But what I am going to focus on is this last bit. "Therefore, I say to you, whatever thing you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." I want to try to bring some understanding to that. So let's just drop our graphics into that. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask, things you ask when you pray, believe what you receive. This is what Jesus did when he spoke to it, and you will have. Okay, so there it is with the fig tree. Now let's put it into another illustration. So, okay, let's put it here. Therefore I say to you, whatever thing you ask when you pray, believe that you receive, and you will have. So just notice the clock there. There's a time difference. So when you pray, you are believing that God has answered your prayer. But it's only a matter of time before it will be seen with your physical senses. You believe that your prayer has been heard in the spiritual realm and God has responded, but it's only a matter of time before what is true in the spiritual realm is manifest in the physical realm. Following most so far. So, again, another simple illustration of this would be when you go to the doctor and the doctor says to you, right, okay, here you are, Mr. Sharp, I want to give you this. I want you to go to the chemist and get this, pay £8, whatever it is for it, pay £8.80 for this prescription, and start taking these tablets. And you can start taking the tablets. And after the first day, you might say, well, he isn't doing much good. Take another one, says your wife, because your wife is always wise. Take another one. A couple of days later, not so sure as I'm feeling any different. These tablets aren't working. Week passes by. I'm not so sure that I'm feeling any different whatsoever. These tablets are no good. I'll think I'll give up taking them. This is a waste of time, and it's turned out to be a waste of my money. Even worse. I'm going to throw them in the bin. No, I'm not going to throw them in the bin. I'm going to take them back to the chemist who can dispose of them. I'm not going to take these anymore. I'm not going to bother with that doctor anymore, because obviously he doesn't know what he's talking about. If I was sensible, you do what everybody does now. When you get a prescription from the doctor, you Google them, don't you? You always look on the internet, see what it is. If I'd have looked on the internet, it says, these tablets have to be taken for 30 days before you notice any difference. Okay, here we go then. This is a good illustration. You don't see any difference until 30 days after taking a tablet, but when does this tablet start working? As soon as you take it. You get the point? That God starts working. We've received the answer to our prayer, but it might be some time before we see the answer to that prayer. Simple. Oh, you've got before me. Go back one. Watch. It was supposed to zoom in. Oh, never mind. Oh, here it is. Yeah. Took me hours to do that. No, it didn't. Here's the question then, you see. So often, we could be like that. We pray for our healing. We pray for it. So yes, thank you, Lord. I receive your healing. And then what happens? I'm not healed. I can't. My wrist still hurts. My arm still aches. I've still got a headache. Nothing has changed whatsoever. And then what happens is that we give up praying, don't we? We say, right, that's it. God has not answered my prayer. God is obviously not interested in me. Prayer, it was a waste of time. I knew that I shouldn't have done it. I won't bother God again. This is how we think. And we miss out on the answer to our prayer because we do not wait for it to be manifest in the physical realm. So here's the question, next question, is what do we do in between the believe and receive, and the you will have. What do we do between day one and the amen of our prayer for healing, for provision, for for anything else that we're praying for? What do we do in between that time and that time of seeing that with our physical eyes, hearing it with our physical eyes, touching it and hearing, no, can't hear it with our physical eyes, hearing it with our ears? What do we do in between that time? Well, here's my suggestion. We give thanks. Because what do you do when you receive something? You give thanks, don't you? You give thanks. So, Joshua is loaded. Loads of money in the bank. Loads of money in national safe. He's absolutely loaded. Not really, but he's loaded. He's loaded. And he says to me, Dad, he says, any time you want to borrow £1,000, no problem. Just give me a call. I'll sort it out. I'll sort it on the internet straight away. So, thank you very much, Joshua. So I ring Joshua up. I says, Joshua, you know you said you'd always lend me £1,000. Well, I need £1,000 now. Can you sort it out? He says, yes, I'll do it on the internet straight away. 5 minutes later, he rings back and he says, Dad, I've done it. What do I say? Thank you. When do I say thank you? Then. I don't say, well, thank you very much. I don't say, Joshua, well, I'm not gonna say anything until I have checked online to see whether it's there. Or you might say, I'm not gonna say thank you until I see the colour of the money when I've taken it out of the bank machine. I say thank you the minute he says, Dad, it's there. So often, you know, I thought about this, perhaps we could have done that, because even with faster payments, you see, it can take up to 3 hours. If you've only done an internet banking, it can take up to 3 hours. So he might say to me, Dad, it's done. And I might say, thank you, son, you're such a wonderful son, thank you. I brought you upright to save money and get bargains, so you're loaded with money. So he's loaded with money. And he says, thank you. And then I say, thank you. But then I go to my internet connection. And I say, then jolly rogue, it's not there. And really what it is, it's in cyberspace, you see. It's getting there, you see. And so often we can miss out because we give up in continuing to trust God, give up in our faith of God, because we say, well, actually, I can't see it. It's not there. I don't think it's there. Yes, it is. It's on the way. It's just not got there. See what I'm saying? So what do we do in between the time of the believing that you receive and you will have? We say thank you. And we can continue to say thank you. Thank you, Lord, that the answer is on the way. Thank you, Lord, that you've already heard me, and the physical manifestation is just around the corner. Thank you, Lord, that you have healed me. By stripes I am healed. Thank you, Lord, that you promised to provide for me, and you have provided for me. And you continue to thank God, and you continue to praise Him, and you continue to honour Him, and bless Him, and thank Him, because when you thank Him, it inspires your faith, because what you're doing is that you're looking at His goodness rather than your problem. The scripture is so full of thanksgiving. Romans 1, 20 to 23 says this. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes... For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew Him, they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God. So what Paul is saying here is that, you know, through creation, everybody knows that there is a God. No one's got any excuse. In fact, what this verse is saying, or these verses are saying, is there's no such thing as an atheist. And probably, I do agree with the Bible. There is no such thing as an atheist. People might say that they don't believe in God, but that's because they've had a bad relationship with God, and they got angry with God and say, well, this is how God is, I don't want to know, and therefore I don't believe him. So people are angry with God, and you get an atheist in a tight corner, and you'll soon get them praying. All right, anyway. I digress. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful. They weren't thankful. Now this is the opposite of being thankful, because I want to contrast what it means not to be thankful. You see, when you're not thankful, you become futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. You see, when you start being unthankful towards God, you just become a reprobate person. In fact, the next scripture says this, but we know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty lovers of pleasure, rather than the lovers of God. This is the description of an unthankful person. Do you want to be like that? The answer to that question is no. I want to be somebody who is thanking God and full of faith. What does it say? Here's the next scripture. Psalm 34:3. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I will praise the name of God with a song, and I will magnify his name with thanksgiving. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. You see, when Joshua didn't give me that money, I could have said, the miserable rogue, he's a good for nothing so-and-so. I could have blamed him for being a rebellious child. I knew I couldn't trust him, and blah, blah, blah. And look at this, I haven't got money now. And all kinds of horrible things I could have said. And when you start looking at the problem, you start sinking. But when you start looking at God's goodness and thanking him for what he's already done, you're looking up and you're full of faith. You see, because we need to be consistent in our faith in between that time when we have prayed and the time that we see the manifestation of it. Some people might say, let me read some of this. When we magnify the mountain overwhelms us and falls on top of us, and we're crushed by unbelief. Yeah. When we magnify God, God overwhelms our problems, and that mountain compared to God is not a mountain after all. Well, I've got nothing to thank God about. You know, sometimes I say to people, you know, who are down on the floor, I said, well, think about this. Think about something to praise God for. Yeah, think about something to praise God for. And I don't think I have got anything to praise God for. And, you know, just moan a bit more. And if you've got nothing else to thank God for, you can thank God that he's saved you, that he's delivered you from hell, that he's loved you with the same love that he loves Jesus with. Amen. Amen. So there is always something to thank God for. There is always something to praise his name for. Or you might get a response sometimes. Well, Ian, you know, my leg does hurt. I do have a headache. I still have cancer. Yes, I'm not asking you to deny the facts. I'm asking you to focus upon God rather than your problem. I'm not asking you to tell a lie. I'm not asking you to say something that's not true. I'm just saying to you, look, when you're waiting, you focus your eyes upon God. Okay, Colossians 2:6, nearly done. I know it's very, very hot. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted up and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been, abounding in it with thanksgiving. So how do you become established in faith? You abound in it with thanksgiving. Jonah 2:5, 6 and 7. Jonah, you don't need me to tell you the story of Jonah. Do I need to tell you about the story of Jonah? Jonah was asked to go to Nineveh by God. And he says, I'm not going to go what God says. I'm going to do what I want. And there's a lesson for somebody here. You don't do what you want. You do what God wants. It's not about me and I and I'm going to do this. It's what God has asked you to do that you do. I don't want to do this. These people are horrible. This is a horrible place. I don't want to... God said, you go there, Jonah. Anyway, you know the story. He was swallowed by the big fish. And if you've ever had children, you might have enjoyed telling the story about how it swallowed him and threw him up and everything like that. So you might have gone through that. And you've got to remember here, the scripture by Jonah chapter 2, Jonah has been in the fish for 3 days and three nights. He's bleached. It's dark, it's horrible, it's probably a little bit smelly. It is smelly, it's horrible. And the scripture says here, the waters surrounded me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. Oh, you know, the picture gets even worse. But then, verse 7, he says, when my soul fainted within me, when he was at his lowest ebb, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of what? Thanksgiving. At his lowest point, things could not have got any worse. Oh Lord, I don't feel like worshipping you. I don't feel like giving you thanks because it can't get any worse. I don't know whether it could have got much worse for Jonah, but he decided that even though it was smelly, he had weeds around his neck, it was all horrible, he was going to offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Because thanksgiving keeps our focus upon God and doesn't allow the enemy to steal it from us. You see, when we praise God, The enemy's grip is loosened on us. You know, when we're thanking God and we're praising him, it's the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. God's presence is there. And where God's presence is, the enemy scarpers. So one way of loosening the enemy's grip on you is to praise his name. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. In everything. Not for everything. It's not God that has given you cancer. It's not God that's made you sick. It's not God that has done some terrible disaster in your life. It's not God that has stolen things from you and made you miserable. It's not God that's done that. Don't thank God for it. But in it, you can say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are my healer. Thank you, Lord, that you are my provider. Thank you, Lord, that nothing is impossible for you. And I've asked you, and what I thought was impossible is possible. And you keep on thanking and thanking Jesus. Because your answer to the prayer in the physical realm is just around the corner. Pray without ceasing. Oh, time has gone. Let me say, what does it mean? That we continue to pray and pray, and that we're always praying 24 hours a day. I think it means that we don't give up. We don't give up. You see, so often, you see, the next scripture, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say rejoice. You see, I'm nearly done. Give me 2 minutes. And I'm done. I know it's very, very hot. 2 minutes and we'll have a bit of birthday cake for Kath. She didn't want to be coming out the front, but thank you, Kath. Happy birthday. What was I going to say? Rejoice in the Lord always. And I can imagine that the congregation that Paul was preaching to, and they said, "Rejoice in the Lord always." I said, "What have we got to rejoice about, Paul? You know, we're in agony here. The pain is right there, and you know we're poor. We ain't got anything, and oh, it's horrible. You know, in fact, you know, we're struggling. You telling me to rejoice? What have I got to rejoice about?" And he says, "Yes, you heard me right. You heard me right. Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say rejoice. And what Paul was reminding us that, you know, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. So as you pray, you thank God that He's already answered you. And we keep on praying, and we keep on praying, and we keep on rejoicing and rejoicing and thanking God that He's heard our prayer until we see it in the physical realm. And then we see it in the physical realm, we don't stop thanking Him. We continue to give Him testimony. Thank you, Lord. Amen.